Welcome to A Better HR Business, the podcast that looks at how HR consultants and HR tech firms grow their businesses and how they help their employers to get the best out of their people. Remember, for show notes and downloads, go to www.getmorehrclients.com/podcast. That's getmorehrclients.com/podcast. Okay, let's get started.
Hello, welcome to the show. Great to have you along. And I'm really looking forward to my conversation today with Amy Sperling. Amy is the CEO and founder of an amazing business called Compt. And now Compt helps HR build, manage, and streamline lifestyle benefit programs so that employees can get the benefits they want and need most, which is obviously a critical thing in the whole war for talent, attraction, and retention battle that we all face in the HR world. Before we get into all that, Amy, thank you very much for joining me today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, great. In Boston, right? So life's good there. And there's a lot of good HR tech there.
Yeah, we do have a fair amount, and like the whole East Coast, there's a fair amount of really solid, really interesting HR solutions that are happening.
Absolutely. Let me just make you blush for a second. So I'm just going to give people your background. So you're a seasoned exec with over 20 years experience in leadership roles at venture-backed companies, ranging from early startup phase through high growth and ultimately exit. So you were responsible for bunch of areas: strategic planning, international expansion, team development, scale, finance, accounting, human resources, corporate governance, and risk management. And you were busy indeed. You closed 12 rounds of debt and equity financing from strategics, insiders, venture firms, and institutional sources, totaling more than $200 million. And you also, during that time, managed two acquisitions to close with values ranging from 10 to 30x revenue, which is a sign that you were probably busy at different stages, I'm imagining. But you've moved into the HR world. Welcome, because you're a CFO. We welcome you to the land of HR.
Thank you.
Was that a big step?
All of my prior companies, I managed both finance and HR, and I have much more of a people operations slant than I had an accounting slant. I'm more finance than accounting. So it was actually a lot more comfortable moving into this, where you can find ways to say yes rather than always saying no, which was very frustrating.
Yeah. You know, one of my most favorite projects I did in HR, there was an underperforming business. So my boss sent me around Europe. I mean, what a cool job as a young single guy, just travel around Europe. But we're trying to go around and improve systems, processes, management of people, but also understanding cost, cash flow, the P&L and stuff. So I went around with the CFO of that business for a little bit, and we were educating all the different business units. And we had a fun activity where we said, all right, we've taught you this stuff about cash flow and P&L is what they mean. Now you have to teach it back to us, but in a fun way. So we had people doing rap songs, game shows, explaining cash flow and P&L.
How fun.
Statements. I know, it was really good.
And I
it
love
really
that.
Sunk in. Yeah. So I think you can have fun with it. So yeah, what exactly is Compt and how are you helping employers?
So we sit in the piece of compensation that is, you know, you've got competitive salaries. Everybody Googles for what their salary range should be. You know, you've got some sort of insurance benefits in the US, health insurance. In other countries, you don't need them because you have healthcare. How delightful for you. Please tell me more. But everybody's trying to figure out, what else are we going to do? Because otherwise it's all table stakes and then you don't stand out from an offer standpoint. And that's where everybody got into employee perks, you know, in the mid-2000s. And the problem was that you have all these different tiny little solutions and you bring something in, you work so hard as an HR leader, and then three people use it. You're like, why did I just spend so much time and energy and money? And I'm trying to do a good thing here. Nobody's using the thing. And it's so frustrating. And so I was buying all those solutions for years. And I got really tired of spending a lot of money on things that nobody was using. And I realized that the key to it was personalization. Every person wants something different. And if you're sitting in a CFO seat, all that means is you say no all day long, because you're like, one person's going to use this. I'm not spending money on it. So you got to figure out a new approach. So what we do is allow for that personalization. Everybody can do something different, can use different vendors. We don't care, completely agnostic, but allowing companies to say, we want to support wellness or family or some sort of inclusive stipend, but then they don't have to dictate to the team, here's four vendors you can use to make that happen. And so it's allowing for the choice and personalization on the employee side, but still having some controls and compliance for HR and finance.
Got it. Many HR, solo HR people, or even the office manager, the person who's in charge of the Christmas party, right? Just the Christmas party as an analogy of trying to work out a venue for, you know, some people want a big busy place, others want someone quiet where they can chat with it.
Right.
It's the same with the Christmas gifts and stuff.
Oh my gosh, the worst. It's all pain and suffering with a lot of energy that goes into trying to do something nice for folks.
Yeah.
Because everyone wants something different. And it's just, it's really tough. I mean, I saw it like in one of my prior CFO roles where, you know, it was just the beverages that we stocked in the kitchen. And it was like, okay, we're going to have coffee. But then coffee became five different kinds. Some people wanted espresso. Some people wanted cold brew. Somebody wanted drip. And I'm like, just coffee. People don't have different opinions. And then you get into, but I don't drink coffee. And there's 85 kinds of tea. And I was like, this is just beverages. We're only talking about liquid. I don't even know where to start with this.
Got it. Yeah. I'm still picturing all these engineers in a large engineering firm complaining about the vintage of the wine that they were presented with as a thank you for a project. The Chateau something 63. But anyway, so from a practical perspective, what does an HR person see? So there's a platform. Do they then go out and find their vendors or they attach the vendors that they've already signed up for? How does it work?
Neither. Okay. So we want to get out of the vendor business because it doesn't matter whether I build a list of vendors or HR builds a list of vendors, nobody's going to use the vendors. And that's the challenge. Everybody uses something different. And so what HR does is say, hey, they work with our finance team. What's our budget? What can we afford to support for the team? And then they pick their budget and we work with them. If you have a big budget, we're going to guide you towards, you know, maybe multiple stipends. If you've got a smaller budget, maybe you do one stipend. But say, all right, you've got $50 a quarter per employee. What are you going to do with that? And so with that, you say, I want to support wellness, or like, what outcomes are you trying to drive within the team? And then the employees get notified and then the employees use it and they get reimbursed through payroll because some of this is taxable, some isn't. You got to manage that. But there's no vendors. And that is part of the magic. I'll give you an example, quiz time. I get to quiz you on this one.
It's exciting.
So everyone since the dawn of time here, you know, all of our investors are like, build the marketplace, have lots of vendors. That'll make people happy. And no, I don't want to. Don't make me, because it doesn't make sense. Finally got the data. We went and took a couple of years ago, a cohort of folks that we watched for 12 months and said, all right, 8,700 people, we had over 90% utilization. Over 90% of these folks use their stipends, which just doesn't happen in employee benefits. And said, all right, how many different unique vendors can 8,700, like, what are they using? Because we're not telling them what to use. They're just going out and doing their own thing. Guess how many different vendors they used in a 12-month period?
10.
27,000. Like, you cannot build a marketplace. And so if you want to get high utilization, you have to allow for personalization. And there's no way you're going to get three vendors for every single person and then change them on a repeating basis. Like, you're never going to be able to read people's minds, nor should you have to. The point is, let employees drive what matters to them, use it where it matters to them, and they're going to be more engaged. And so do it the easy way.
So give us a couple of examples of what benefits someone might grab. And then secondly, I don't know why I always choose on Mary from accounts, but let's grab Mary from accounts. How would she actually use it?
Depends on what Mary wants and what stage of life Mary is in. So let's say it was a wellness stipend, just for argument's sake. She could use it depending on, you know, company rules, of course, but could use it for local yoga instructor or personal trainer. Maybe she doesn't want to do either of those things. Maybe she wants running shoes. Maybe she's using it for a mental health app or to, you know, go do telemedicine or, you know, a private coach that she wanted to use. But she gets to determine that. She's probably got a provider she's already working with for her personal wellness journey. This gives the company a way to support something she is already doing rather than saying, hey, not only do we want to support something, we're going to tell you how wellness should work for you. That doesn't make any sense. I'm a grown-up. I don't need you to tell me I have to go to the gym. I don't want to. You can't make me, but I want to go for a walk. And so walking shoes are fantastic for me. And so it's allowing people to have that autonomy, but within a sandbox that HR can get comfortable with.
And then, so if she wants the shoes, what does she do next?
She goes and buys them, takes a picture of a receipt, uploads it into the platform, and then gets reimbursed through her payroll provider. Part of that is our automation of the taxation. Some things are taxable, some are not. And that needs to be managed. And that's different in different countries as well. And so our platform works globally as well.
And would you categorize that spending in different ways, or have they got the options to do that?
Yes, absolutely. So it's figuring out, like, there's a whole lot of different categories companies could include. So even within a wellness stipend, we see some companies include a health and wellness as a category, but they may also include pets. If you're walking your dog, you're probably going to be healthier. They may include family. If your family is healthy, you're more likely to be healthy. They may include professional development, expand your mind, learn some things, you know, They may include financial wellness. In the US, a lot of times they include student loan repayment. Because if you've got, you know, that part of your life buttoned up, you're going to be overall healthier. So they can kind of mix and match and determine what they want to include and what they don't want to include.
Now, I know you've got some great companies working with you using it. So how do they use that to improve their attraction and retention of staff?
More around like kind of the waterfall I walk folks through is, all right, do you have a problem hiring or retaining people? If not, please write the book. I will buy it. All of us need to read this book. You probably have one of those problems. Doesn't matter what your industry is.
Yeah.
If you have that problem, are you offering competitive pay? If you're not offering competitive pay, there is nothing I'm going to be able to do to help you. You've got to get your pay on board. If you're in an industry that offers health insurance, are you offering competitive health insurance? If you're doing those things, then it's, what else are you going to do? You have to do something. And so then it's looking at what are your alternatives? So are you going to go with all these tiny little point solutions where three people on the team use it, and you spend a lot of time and energy kind of trying to figure out a communication plan, it's very expensive, or are you going to say we support some big philosophical cultural cornerstone of the business, you know, we're family friendly, whatever it is, and then let people use that. So what's going to get you the highest employee utilization? Because if an employee is not using the benefit, it's not a retention tool. It's not a hiring tool. You have to have things that people engage with.
Now, in terms of getting the word out there about the business, what are you doing? Obviously, podcasting, and obviously going to explode now that you've been on this show, but
obviously,
what's the marketing and growth strategy for getting the word out about Compt?
There's a couple of different strategies that we use. One, we want to be like, HR is a very unique buyer. They get hit by everyone all the time, which is really brutal, honestly. Like your inbox is inundated all the time. We don't want to be part of that noise. What we want is we know that HR, everything is always on fire. When they're ready to make a change around something like this moves to the top of their list, they go and they look for solutions. They're a very innovative group of people. So we've got a really strong content strategy so that when you are searching, you find us. So we rank on the first page of Google for like 500 key terms. So very strong kind of content strategy. The other is working through partners. And so payroll providers, benefit brokers, making sure that as they're having those conversations with HR leaders, folks are hearing about us and understanding that there is a path that might be a little bit easier.
Nice. And any other methods that you've either tried that didn't work or that you might try in the future?
Plenty we've tried that didn't work. Conferences are a challenge. Conference strategy, like you either need to be a very big, very large company. It's a branding exercise, but attending conferences in the hopes of finding leads, I think is very tough. Honestly, the attendees want the content. They don't want vendors poking at them, which I get when I go to conferences too. It's like,
well, they want the free stuff that's on your stand.
Or they want the free stuff. And the free stuff, I have an entire blog post on that where I'm like, enough things for the landfill. I'm over all the swag. Like I don't need another plastic water bottle, thanks. And so there is some of that. But that's not a real lead. That's just somebody who wanted the free whatever. Conferences, I think, are a challenging strategy if you're trying to drive leads. It can be good for awareness, but not for leads. And so that certainly is not our strong suit or our kind of game plan. And then I think the communication strategy just has to continue evolving. The things that worked in 2020 don't work now. The things that worked in 2021 don't work now. And so you've got to keep evolving to where the market is and where people want to be found and on what platform.
Just before I move away from the SEO, I think that's a great strategy. You know, ranking for 500 keywords, very smart. Just as a side note, do you see any risk with that, with the whole rise of ChatGPT and maybe people avoiding Google?
I mean, SEO has definitely been tipped on its head with all the AI that is coming in. But the way the algorithm works is if you're using AI to generate all this stuff, you're going to get penalized. We don't do that. So it's not that we don't use AI in how we work on a day-to-day basis, but we're not cranking out 8,000 pieces of content a day, you know, using ChatGPT and flooding the market because that ultimately just creates noise and we don't want to be part of noise.
Yeah. So with the content, you've got great articles and stuff, but you've also produced the Lifestyle Benefit Benchmarking Report, which is excellent. So there's data in there from real companies across a variety of industries that have shifted to personalized lifestyle spending accounts and impact of employee stipends on employee appreciation and stuff. You know, what are the sort of the standout highlights from that report and how are you finding people in terms of once they've looked at it, what's their feedback from that report?
It's been really interesting. There's been some new trends. In one, you can clearly see the impact of personalization. Like last year, over 70,000 different merchants were used via our platform. Like personalization is how you get to really high utilization by a team. And so that's been interesting to see. That's been growing and growing year over year. So that's been really interesting. It's also the geographical differences has been fascinating. So in the US in particular, you know, you see the coasts spend a lot of money. This is where tech hubs are. That's going to drive those numbers. We've seen the South catch up as more companies, tech companies in particular, kind of move to those areas. But that's also driving the other businesses in the area. Only about 40% of our customer base is tech companies. 60% is in all kinds of other industries. And so we're seeing where the South has kind of come up and is mirroring the coast. And the Midwest is kind of next on the docket. They're spending a lot less because it's more of a new concept. And so they're using it, but they're using it with a smaller budget, which has been interesting.
That's really interesting. Yeah, so it's an excellent report. So for people listening to this, I would definitely recommend checking out that one. That's the Lifestyle Benefit Benchmarking Report. So for people who are either wanting to use Compt as customers or might partner up and get the word out, maybe as brokers, benefits brokers, consultants, what should they do next?
Depending on what they're looking for, our website has different places so they can get to the right person. So compt.io, or they can obviously reach out to me as well, amy@compt.io.
Excellent. Okay. We'll have those links in the show notes. And just finally, for people listening to this who might be running either a consultancy or an HR tech company and across the spectrum of HR, so that's diversity, inclusion, learning, development, employee engagement, et cetera. You mentioned about trying to reach HR, they're bombarded. So what's your advice, learnings advice for them on how best to get the word out there about their products and services?
Depends on what they're trying to sell, you know, obviously how you approach that. We do find, I mean, HR wants a trusted partner. And so the more credibility you can get by partnering with other companies that can bring you in and, you know, references, testimonials, case studies, things like that help, because there's only pain and suffering for HR. There is never kudos. You bring something in, it works beautifully. No one says anything. You bring something in and it crashes and burns and you get penalized for it. And so HR has to be very careful and very selective in how they approach it. So anything that can help de-risk it for them is usually hugely valuable.
Actually, I often say that probably the biggest competitor for any HR tech company is Microsoft Excel.
Yeah, it is. It's Excel or it's just doing nothing. Like we saw our customer base start ramping up and growing significantly with COVID in particular, because everybody had to move away from point solutions. Yeah. And so paying for the local gym no longer worked because everybody was home and was nowhere near this gym that wasn't even open anymore. So market conditions dictate what's going to rise to the top a lot of times in different industries.
Well, I think it's wonderful what you're doing, and it's great to see such success in your business and the way it's going and developing. So I can see a great future for it ahead. So could you call out the website again?
Sure. It's www.compt.io.
Compt with a C, so C-O-M-P-T.io. Fabulous. Amy, thank you very much for sharing your story, and I wish you all the best for Compt and for you and your team in the future.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us today on A Better HR Business, the podcast that explores the world of HR consulting and HR tech businesses. For show notes and downloads, go to www.getmorehrclients.com/podcast. That's getmorehrclients.com/podcast. Remember to subscribe and share the show with any friends who are busy growing a HR business. Thanks, and see you next time.